Good evening, and welcome to New Life Church. We're so excited that you're here. Please stand with us as we worship.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven angels sing. Just say
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Good, he's asleep. There's a lot to wonder about when you become a mother. New life with all its potential. New life, new love. Full of possibilities. A new life that overwhelms you and it fills you with joy and concern. A lot of concern. The world becomes full of what ifs. What if he doesn't sleep? What if he doesn't eat? What if he's ill? What if I cannot cope? That's all wonderful and also routine. I have seen mothers with their children since I have had eyes to see. And all these things are remarkable and commonplace. I feel all these things too. But there's more. I think it's true that with my boy, there's more what ifs than most. What if he grows to become all that has been promised? What if he is not able to bear the responsibility, the expectations? What if everybody demands of him? And what if they do not get what they want? What if it all goes horribly wrong? And what if I am not, what if I'm there to watch? And what if I am not able to do anything to help? And what if he is the one we've been expecting? What if he is the one who will save us from our sins? What if all of our hopes, all of our fears come down to this, to him? It's so good to see him sleeping, so peaceful. Perhaps that's enough for today. I look at him, and I wonder, what if?
Sometimes they say that it's the darkest just before the morning. Well, this certainly has been a long night. I can't sleep. There's too much to think about. And I can't think because it's just too much. So I'm sitting here looking east, waiting for the sun, waiting for the morning star. Just getting ready to get up and face the world. Things weren't exactly easy yesterday. I thought I had things worked out. I loved Mary. Well, I love her still. But it just seems that it would be easier for everyone if I walked away and let her go quietly. Of course, there were alternatives. It can get very nasty when this sort of thing comes out. And I was angry. I thought about making a spectacle of her until I realized that I'm also not perfect. Did I really want to start throwing stones? So I did what I thought would be best. I made a quiet settlement. She would go her way, and I would go my way, and somehow we'd find a way to carry on. But then this dream, a dream unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. It wasn't confusing, it wasn't bizarre, but it was clear and it was authoritative. I'm tempted to say that it was irresistible, but of course I could have denied it. Maybe it's just that we've been waiting for such a long time for a word, or hoping against hope for someone, that someone would come someday. And maybe it was that name, Jesus, like a reminder of something important to forget. Or it was the promise that he would save people from their sins. It's too much to take in, but it's also too much to ignore. It's all just too much. And yet I find myself hopeful for the first time in a long time. I don't understand. What do I know of saving people from their sins? I'm just a carpenter. What can I say? I hope, and I believe, and for now I must just get on.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Little Bo Peep, she's lost her sheep. She doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they will come home, wagging their tails behind them. Not likely. I've been a shepherd with years of experience, and there is no such thing as a homing sheep. When they go astray, they stay astray unless we go and find them. And that's exactly what we're doing up here. Forgotten by people. Cold, dark, and all alone. But tonight I'm not going to moan, because something has changed. Not necessarily in my life circumstances, because we're still watching sheep. And you know what they say? Out of sight, out of mind. Yet tonight, I don't feel alone. I think I have been noticed. For last night, the darkness was ripped apart, and the sky, this sky, burst forth in glorious light. You know, God has a wonderful way of grabbing your attention. And last night, He grabbed ours. In fact, He terrified us. And yet, it was awesome. It was bright. It was strange. It was different. And it was glorious. I think God is like that. To say we were terrified is an understatement. Don't be afraid, they said. God always says, don't be afraid. And I think that bears repeating, because aren't we all scared most of the time? You know, when my sheep go astray, I don't get frustrated. I think they're like me. I need a helping hand. I need someone to show me the way. I need someone to watch over me. Don't be afraid, they said. Come and see what has happened. And so we did. I mean, wouldn't you? And what we found was so ordinary, and yet so wonderful. There was the baby boy that they had told us about. There were the grateful parents, tired and yet still smiling. And the joy for us is that we had something to say. We had something to add. Something that made that ordinary moment extraordinary. This baby is no ordinary baby, we said. Let us tell you the story that they told us. And that's what we did. But now, we're back here again, watching. Most people don't even know we exist. Many people take us for granted. And some just ignore us. But, God has seen us. He has shown us this wonderful mystery. And we are loved. it seems. And that makes all the difference.
Didn't come in glory. The author of the oceans and the sun, still he chose to be written in our story, so he could feel our flesh and blood, and we could know his love. No crown upon his head, he came like us instead. Emmanuel, he meets you where you are, he holds your heavy heart, our God is with us all. Without a home, helpless as a baby. So if we're feeling lost in our own lives, we are not alone. He's felt the same thing because he lived in flesh and blood. We
interrupt this Christmas For perhaps a host of reasons. I mean, maybe it's a snowstorm, or maybe it's flooding, or maybe it's a pandemic. But interruptions have been occurring frequently in our lives. And those interruptions frustrate us, annoy us, bother us. It causes us to throw up our hands, to wonder, what is next? We don't like interruptions. We're even annoyed when someone interrupts our speaking. Or perhaps even when a power outage interrupts our leisure time in front of the television. Or when someone's request interrupts our carefully laid plans. See, security is what we plan. And there's safety in what we can expect. Sufficiency is in what we can schedule and what we can control. We even try to plan for interruptions. We call it risk management, or we say we have a rainy day fund for those interruptions. Yes, we even know that interruptions are perhaps inevitable, but when the unexpected happens, it seems we lose all sense of control. Friends, Christmas is an interruption. For all the comfort that Christmas brings, it represents a break, an abrupt break in normal routines and in usual expectations and in the normal way things are supposed to occur. I mean, did you hear Joseph? Did you hear him? His well-ordered life, following all of the traditions and expectations of a young man about to enter into family life and all that is expected of him. Did you hear Joseph? When his life was interrupted with the news that his fiancée was pregnant by another. Well, actually, by God. What an interruption. Did you hear the shepherd? I mean, shepherds just look after sheep. But something interrupted that harsh and dangerous life to suddenly, tenderly celebrate the birth of a baby. A baby born in a manger. Interruptions. Did you hear Mary? Mary, her reputation was interrupted. Well, actually, it was all but ruined. Ruined by a scandal. Did you hear Mary? Her only hope was that scandal would prove righteous. Now here's the thing. Christmas is an interruption. And interruptions demand a response. Some kind of action. I suppose you could ignore an interruption and try to carry on as if nothing happened, but that likely will not turn out very well. And so you have to somehow react. You have to somehow respond to that interruption, perhaps even simply by adapting. And yet, And yet you could also respond by recognizing an interruption and using it to inspire new ways. So the question for you, question for me, is how will we respond to Christmas this year, recognizing that interruption in our lives? God breaking into this world. God who made this world, and then he himself breaks into it. Jesus, the Son of God, lives, and he lives for a while among us. And he causes all kinds of interruptions and disruptions. All of the usual ways, all of the usual expectations, they're disturbed. They're turned upside down. Jesus challenges every one of them with love, with hope, with grace. Come to think of it, God has always been making those kinds of interruptions. He created the world. That was an interruption. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and then thinking that they have this secret between the two of them and they'll just keep it and huddle together, God interrupts their existence. And he calls out, Adam, where are you? Eve, what have you done? Humanity does whatever it wants to and descends into wickedness. And God, throughout the pages of Scripture, keeps interrupting with the prophet's words of judgment, of hope, and of comfort, and of redemption. And tonight, God waits for your response to his great interruption. And so what does being here represent for you tonight? Maybe you're here because going to church makes it all feel more cozy. It's part of your plan, part of your schedule of events to make this a good Christmas. Or you could be here tonight to acknowledge that God interrupted our lives because something needed to be done about the direction of our lives. And God came, interrupting the usual patterns, the usual expectations. And he challenges us, not just to adapt, but to inspire in new ways that are directed by him. And so he's calling you. He's calling you to recognize the brokenness of your life, the sickness of your soul, the desperateness of your destiny. And he wants to interrupt it tonight, break into the usual expectations of our own self-sufficiency, our own self-centeredness, our own self-fulfillment. How will you respond? Mary responded with a simple, "Yes, Lord, may it be so," even to her own great peril. Joseph responded with humble and gracious obedience, even though it made no sense to him. The shepherd responded with joy and tenderness at the sight of a baby, even though shepherds were known to be the roughest, crassest characters around. Each of them responded, though they were scared out of their wits, but they listened to the angel say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And they received God's great interruption. The very Son of God, born to set his people free. Way back in the winter of 1947 in the city of New York, it began to snow. And it began slowly, undramatically, like any other snow. Perhaps something like the anticipation we have with our apparent prediction of snow. A white Christmas. The flakes were fine, steady, they fell straight, no wind. But then, little by little, sidewalks started to whiten. Shopkeepers and doormen began to get worried. They were out with their shovels, clearing the sidewalks, trying to allow the people to pass. After a while, the streets began to fill, and the roofs of parked cars, they were covered, and you could no longer tell where the curb was. Even the fire hydrants disappeared. The melted discs over manhole covers no longer were seen. And the plows couldn't even keep up with the snow, and the traffic moved more and more slowly as the drifts piled up higher and higher. Businesses closed. They closed early. People walked home from work that night. All evening it continued, falling all through the night. There were even skiers on Park Avenue, just on Main Street. Children were up, playing in the snow much past their bedtime. And then, by the next morning, people awoke and it was a different city. More striking than anything else about it was the silence. All traffic had stopped. All of the hectic bustle and movement had ceased. Abandoned cars were buried. Nothing on wheels moved. The only sounds to be heard were church bells and human voices. And you listened. You listened because you couldn't help yourself. All was silent. Perhaps the bells and voices of our world ring out in a different air this year. All of the usual hustle and bustle of our lives that we've come to expect, well, they've been interrupted, all right. And if most of the time we don't listen, perhaps this Christmas, in the silence, we will. We will listen to hear the voice of the angel say to us, "Fear not." And then to join in with the angel voices to sing the songs of Christmas that proclaim God's glory and to proclaim his peace upon this earth. How will you respond to God's great interruption? A challenge, but also an inspiration for new ways directed to the King of Kings, who alone can save us from a broken world. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you for coming into our world, into our lives, disturbing all that we thought had been smoothed out, but really it was a facade, a charade, superficial. God, you broke into our world. You've promised that you would redeem, that you would claim back for yourself all that had gone astray, that you would heal all that had become sick, that you would restore all that was broken, all through your Son, Jesus, born into this broken world, humbly, even shamefully, revealed to the lowest of low. And yet, God, in that interruption, people saw your glory and they worshiped. And so mold our hearts and our lives, God, to worship you, Savior of the world. Come to save us from our sin, from our brokenness, from our misery, from our loneliness. Oh God, save us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so on this eve of Christmas, we celebrate that God interrupted our dreary lives with his everlasting life. And in the silence of singing Silent Night, we too will witness the light of the world entering into this room to represent God coming into our darkness with his wonderful light. So prepare your candles. Make sure you follow the instructions on the slide so that we have no accidents. Pay attention to your surroundings as we light the flame. And as light fills this room, so we stand in hope and glory. God will fill this night, because God has broken into this dark world and revealed his glorious light. light in the world. And join the chorus of angels that shout glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Go in that peace. Be a light. Merry Christmas. Just to remind you not to walk around with a lighted candle, snuff out the candles.